Welcome on in to Stacking Dubs. I am your host, Chris Chin. Let's talk about what's wrong with the Warriors. You know, I initially started just by going down, I was going to make a naughty list of each player and everything that they're doing wrong and coaching staff and front office. It would have been like a 40-minute episode, so I decided just to cut this to be my biggest reason or reasons as to the why this team is a 500 team at best, and that's with Steph Curry playing like it's 2015-16 again and just going supernova pretty much any time he's been healthy, carrying the entire offense. I don't even need to talk to you anymore about what Steph Curry's doing, other than I'll just mention that it's what keeps me watching, and you know, it's what gives me any bit of hope for the future with the Warriors over the next couple years. But it's also what gives me just so much frustration as to how you're going to be wasting these just legendary efforts from Steph, losing games, barely beating the Spurs when he's dropping 46 points. I mean, I guess they're wins, but it's just, I've seen enough to know that, well, A, Steph Curry is still just one of the all-time greats and a top five player at worst in this league at 30, almost 8 years old. But I've also seen enough to know that this team is just not very good outside of Steph. And even with Steph, they are just a middling team. Some recurring themes about the types of teams they're losing to. It's the third straight time they've lost to an Athletic Blazers team, lost to an Athletic Wolves team without Anthony Edwards. So let's just take a look here. And I'm just going to start with, I guess we'll call it the elephant in the room. There's a couple of them. The first one is, and this is just kind of looking at a lot of Warriors Twitter, and it's just Steve Kerr. I don't really talk about Kerr that much because I think Warriors Twitter speaks enough on the criticisms of Kerr. I'll leave it here. Steve Kerr has not been great this season. Steve Kerr admittedly is not doing his job very well this year, and his job is to connect the game, as he said after this game. I agree with him. But Steve Kerr is not the enemy here, guys. He's not the reason the Warriors are losing. It's Monday morning quarterback to just look back in a losing effort at just, you know, the rotations and, hey, you should have subbed here, should have subbed there. Those things, I mean, it matters. Combinations matter. Consistency matters. Who you're playing players with and things like that. You know, it does matter. Don't get me wrong here. The game is won and lost on the floor by the players. Steve Kerr, again, should be doing a better job, and I'm going to kind of talk about some of the things he has not been doing very well, but my caveat is, listen, guys, it's easy to criticize the coach because we all think when we're watching as fans, as coaches, you know, I would play this player more minutes. I would not make this sub. I would not play pods as many minutes, et cetera, et cetera. I know it's easy to do, but at the end of the day, the reason why the Warriors win championships is because they had really good players. The reason why they're losing games these days is because they don't have very good players. It seems simple as that, but honestly, it is almost as simple as that. And the coach can make 10 to 15% difference on winning, losing games, in my opinion. But that being said, Steve Kerr has handed a very small roster, a guard-heavy roster. He's had injured bigs. You know, Horford hasn't played in forever. Post has emerged, but, you know, he's got limitations. TJD has even more limitations, and you've had to play him. Draymond's missed a lot of time. Congratulations on the birth of a new child. I believe that's why you missed Friday's game against, or Saturday's game against the Wolves, Friday. All that being said, Steve Kerr hasn't had a lot of size to play. He hasn't done a great job because the other elephant in the room is obviously Jonathan Kuminga. He would give you some size. He would give you some length. He would give you some athleticism. Why he's not playing is my biggest criticism on Kerr. I'm not in the locker room. I don't know the behind the scenes. I don't know what Kuminga's agent is saying. I don't know what Kuminga is really being asked to do that he's not doing. It's been an issue his entire career. So yes, that's the blame I put on Steve Kerr, is you haven't been able to get more out of Kuminga, but primarily you haven't been able to work with what Kuminga actually does for you, to the point where you know you need his athleticism, his length, his strength. You know, even though he does things poorly, so does half this roster, and actually basically this entire roster outside of Steph and maybe Jimmy. I don't see how you can't find ways to get Kuminga in the lineup against the last two games of the microcosm of it. It's the Wolves, where Kuminga's obviously been effective against the Wolves in the last playoff series. You were clearly lacking size with your bigs out, no Dre, no Horford, and the Wolves are just beating you to death. Julius Randle was beating you to death. Jimmy Butler couldn't handle him. No one on the roster was big enough to handle Randle, nor quick enough. You can't just try Kuminga there in a matchup where he's shown he can be effective offensively. He's shown he can guard Anthony Edwards. He might be able to do a good job against Randle. I don't see how you can't find any minutes for him there, and that's my biggest indictment on Kerr. That being said, there's obviously more going on behind the scenes. That's why he's just completely out of the rotation, regardless of his chances of helping you win right now a regular season game. Maybe this is me hoping, maybe the Warriors just have a trade in place already saying, hey, we don't want Kuminga to get hurt. I don't think this is really happening, but hey, maybe we have a trade in place already. Sit him until January 15th and the trade gets done. That's best case scenario. What I think is really happening here is the same thing that's happened for what, 4 or 5 years, where Kuminga just gets DNPs because the coach doesn't feel he has anything to offer to winning, which is incorrect. Yeah, I mean, outside of that, you look at like last night, right, against the Blazers. I mean, that's a perfect Kuminga matchup. You just got beat to death by Avdija, by just these like kind of wings that you can't stay in front of, by Shaedon Sharpe, who just can jump out of the gym. But hey, we've seen Kuminga meet him up top before. I forgot which game that was, but meet him up top and block him at the basket. Seems like a game you could have used Kuminga. So again, I say Kerr, we're throwing games away now because you're not playing Kuminga. I know sometimes the thought was, hey, you're playing Kuminga and you just have to showcase him and play him, even though he doesn't help your current roster. That's not the case. You're losing games now because you don't have enough athleticism. And yeah, that's just my biggest indictment of Kerr and of this whole Kuminga issue. And Kuminga has some blame to take in that as well. My other biggest issues with Kerr is just consistency of his rotations. I know you're tinkering, you're tampering, you have different players available. It just has to be more consistent, man. Steph talked about it after the game. You need to just get used to playing with certain rotations, certain combinations and players. And until that really happens, it's hard to really build and grow from there. So yeah, you haven't found the perfect rotation, but sometimes you just have to let imperfection get a little bit of runway and that lineup will start to get better and gel together. So that's just my next critique of him. And then the third one, and this was more just about Saturday, but in general, dude, he's been the Warriors staff, coaching staff has been so bad about challenging calls. There was the offensive foul that was called on Steph when, I don't know, someone grabbed him and basically pulled him down. Got a foul there. I think it was McDaniels. There was an out of bounds potentially that could have gone our way against the Wolves. There was the pods block charge foul, but Jalen Clark missed both free throws. You get two challenges, you get at least one, and you leave them both on the table in a game where it was right there for the taking with the Wolves, and it's just kind of been consistent. The foul challenges and the replay challenges have been poor by Kerr. Last bit, just kind of again, I know I'm not going to be a Monday morning quarterback, but just in general, my preference, too much pods, too much buddy. It had been too much Gary Payton the second, but Melton being back kind of fixes that. GP DNP last night. I know you don't have a ton of options, but I just, pods and buddy, I say this at the wrong time because they actually had good games last night against the Blazers, but if they're not going to play consistently and Buddy's going to be turning the ball over all the time and missing shots, seems like he's finally kind of starting to knock some open ones down, which is important. Pods has kind of come around, but it's been so inconsistent. And because you have so many guards and because you have Melton, because you have Pat Spencer, who only played 6 minutes last night, they give you some of the things Pods does, but I get that Pods played well last night. But my point in general is a little bit less Pods minutes and fine minutes elsewhere. Those are my critiques of Steve Kerr. For the most part, I support what he does. I believe in what he does. He's a smart guy. I mean, his credentials speak for themselves, but let's not act like he's been perfect here. Moving on, because the whole point of this video is not to talk about Kerr nor defend him. It's to talk about the real problem that exists with the Warriors, and that is a lack of athleticism and length out of your three and four positions. Your wing, more so your forwards, talking about pretty much what you lost when you lost Andrew Wiggins. It is the perimeter defense, not only just on guards, but on guys like we talked about, Avdija, Randle, although it's not quite as much perimeter, but it's the ability to stay in front of people on the wing, and especially those big wings. The perimeter defense against players like that has been atrocious by the Warriors. It's not much better against quick guards, although Melton helps that. The problem here is Moses Moody is not an effective point of attack defender. Yeah, he can poke the ball loose and be a disruptor at times, but he cannot consistently stay in front of ball handlers. Pods doesn't do can't do it. I guess he's not really a forward I'm talking about, but you're not getting that out of Pods. You're not getting it out of Buddy. You're not getting out of Moody. You're not getting out of Gi Santos. You're not getting out of anybody on that three or four position when you need it most. And that has been burning the Warriors against teams like the Warriors, excuse me, against teams like the Blazers and other athletic teams. It results in all these minutes why GP2 had been playing because Steve Kerr didn't know what to do. And I don't know if you consider what position we consider GP2, but he pretty much plays a forward position and plays up in size. And, he just hurts you on offense so much, you just can't really play him. And on defense, he's just barely passable, but he's probably the best kind of in this role position defensively that we're going to get. And now that Melton's there, it can kind of guard up. That helps a little bit, but it's not as much size or athleticism as Wiggins. It is just destroying you on defense. The lack of athleticism, it's also, or sorry, it's destroying you on ball defense. Talking about off ball defense, that's even the bigger problem because what happens is you have no length, no athleticism, you have no rim protection from that weak side. Think, hey, you're Draymond Green or whoever's playing center or Jimmy is coming over in help defense to protect the paint on the strong side. Well, what happens to the center or the big that Draymond was guarding? It's Robert Williams and overcomes Moses Moody, overcomes Pods, overcomes Buddy Hield to try to rotate over and guard Robert Williams. It's a dunk every time. You just don't have any size out of this weak side help on your wings that can go and actually compete and protect the hoop weak side. It's not even enough to really pose any sort of a threat to just, hey, a bounce pass, a lob pass, any way you're getting the opponent is getting the ball to that big. There's nothing our small forward or even sometimes our power forward can do to deter them at the rim. And that is leading to at least 6 to 10 points a game. You're just not getting any physical presence out of that weak side from your three and even four position. And that has been killing the Warriors. And even when you crash everyone over and try to cure that, it just ends up in a wide open three. And Jeremy Grant ends up scoring like 50 points on 15 threes or whatever you want to call that last night. On the offensive side, your wings, you're not getting any ball handling. You're not getting any playmaking. I'm talking again, the same names, right? I'm just going to keep throwing them out there, but think about it in terms of ball handling. Moses Moody cannot really dribble. Buddy Hield cannot really dribble nor pass and just turns it over. GP2, he's a good passer out of the short roll, but that's not a wing and he can't really play make. Gi Santos, same thing. Will Richard, same thing. I like Will Richard. He hasn't been playing very much. He can do some of these things that defensively that we were talking about, but on the offensive side, gives you nothing in terms of playmaking or ball handling. Kuminga, maybe at his best, a little bit of ball handling, playmaking is your best shot there, but we all know that that is not what he does well, and it's just not even worth mentioning here. Your best is Jimmy Butler, and that's not even out of the wing. That's just playing out of the post. And lately, it's just been kind of a very static, crowded offense. You're trying to just let Jimmy isolate. I guess my biggest complaint about what we've been doing lately with Jimmy, there doesn't seem to be a lot of synergy with him and Steph playing off of each other. It's kind of a lot of I go, you go, Steph on the perimeter or Jimmy through the post or, one's off the floor. not enough action where they're able to capitalize using each other. And I'm more so talking about Jimmy Butler using Steph's gravity. You know, Steph rise lifts all ships, rises that tide for everybody, makes everybody better. Yeah, I mean, it gives Jimmy a little bit more space to work with, but you know, you're not really working on enough kind of two-man action with them until it's like the last couple minutes of a game. Why are we not seeing Jimmy and Steph pick and roll early in the game? You know, why are we not seeing any of this just like throughout the course of the game? You're just kind of just going to that two-man and force teams to stop it or at least generate a good open shot from it. I think some of the answer to that is when Draymond's on the court, it's kind of overcrowded. And it's okay, what do you do with Dre? Is he stand in the corner and not give you spacing? You just take him off the ball. What's he really giving you there? So it ends up being a lot of Steph and Dre action together, which is effective, but now you're not using Jimmy well enough. In addition to not going back to the lack of wings and athleticism, your transition game has just been non-existent by the Warriors. You know, I'm dating back a couple of years now. You know, the Warriors used to just be the best transition team in the league. You get out, you run, you're finding open shooters, you're getting Steph, or you're getting Klay open threes, or you're getting buckets. Other than Kuminga, which, and it hasn't even been there this year, you have no real transition game. It's, you know, a lot of just trying to push the ball ahead, even after turnovers, and you're throwing these careless, just reckless passes. And now, next thing you know, Draymond Green has 8 turnovers. Steph has 4 turnovers. You know, you're praying Jimmy Butler can go Calvin Johnson the ball at the top and save you a turnover, catch the ball for a low percentage, just hope to get fouled bucket. Hey, what's the risk reward here? Why are you throwing that pass? Unless it's an open dunk, don't throw that pass. Take care of the ball. Be aggressive. You can push. But if you're turning the ball over, you know, one out of three of those possessions, you're losing any bit of the reward of it. So it's just so much carelessness. And it just comes back to the lack of athleticism, speed, length, because that's what transition is. It's a bunch of play finishing. It's your wings getting turnovers, getting out in transition. And now you have a lob threat, you have a shooting threat. You just need wings in this league. It's what the Warriors did well when they were winning. They had Durant, they had. Even Harrison Barnes was good back then. They had Iguodala, you had Livingston. Your wings matter on defense. Your wings matter on offense. And the Warriors don't have good wings. That is the problem. So, what do? Because you have a superstar still at the top of his powers, maybe for a few more years, at least a couple more years. Are you just going to lay over, hold on to your picks, ride out this roster, and be a team that works its way through the play-in and gets knocked out in the first or maybe second round of the playoffs? Or are you going to make a move? You're going to put your picks on the table. You're going to package whatever the hell you have to package. Maybe even have to package a Draymond Green, or maybe you have to package a Jimmy Butler if need be. And you go get yourself a dynamic, athletic, two-way wing, or even a big. Maybe that changes the shape of everything. I don't think it helps your spacing, but you can. I don't. And Vucevic isn't available from what we hear, but you go get yourself a big. You have to make a move. Otherwise, you're just wasting Steph Curry's timeline. You're wasting Warriors fans' timeline. You're wasting my timeline because it's fun to watch Steph go nuts and hit 12 threes in a game. It's much worse when he's doing that in a losing effort. All right, I'm not going to talk about trades today. All I'm going to talk about is, hey, this is what the Warriors are doing wrong, and it's what needs to change. So, hey, you know what? Steve Kerr, be better. Kuminga, if it means playing Kuminga and giving yourself a little bit of athleticism, and I know that opens up a whole bunch of different types of problems, and it could even diminish his value even more, where you might have someone interested that becomes uninterested. You risk injury, you risk everything by playing Kuminga, but his value is pretty low right now. So hey, maybe he does have a few good games. Then, you know, but we got what, 13 games left until January 15th. Maybe he has a few games, and maybe you have a chance to save the Steph Curry window. Okay, rant over. Have a good one, guys. I guess we'll talk to you hopefully later this week. I'm in LA, so I'm heading back to the Bay on Monday. I'm going to the Warriors Magic game. So look for me up in the nosebleeds. I will be there, and I will talk to you after that. Until then, I've been Chris Chin. Peace, love, and stacking dubs.